Thank you, preacher. What a joy it is to be in Phoenix, Arizona, Glendale area today. We thank you all for letting us come. Brother, you say you're from St. Joe?
Joe from St. Joe.
Brother Marshall's church?
Yes, sir.
Brother Marshall. We love Brother Marshall. He's a blessing to us. Good to see a lot of faces. And Brother Larry, good to see you and your wife. Sure is. Thank y'all for letting us come. We came, I guess, the first time 4 years ago. Pastor Hardesty was still here. And my family, I'll introduce all of them here in just a little while. But good to see Brother King, Brother Brian, Miss Cheryl, all the way from Winnipeg. So glad y'all are here with us today. But take your Bibles just a couple of hours and turn to Luke chapter number 10. Just kidding about that. I'll go ahead and preface the way I preach. It's like you're watching a tennis match. I'm back and forth. I walk a lot. I get my steps in while I'm preaching. And preacher, I preach with a cough drop in my mouth. It's right in between my cheek and gum. I just set it right in there. I am from North Carolina, so don't take that the wrong way. But Brother Larry, the two reasons why I preach with a cough drop. Number one, it keeps my throat moist. I scream and holler and sweat and spit and run and all that. And it just helps my throat stay moist. But the second reason I preach with a cough drop is I can't always see. I'm 54 years old. Going blind is a bad. I can't see the hands on my watch. And I'm glad that clock's back there so I'll know what time it is. But most of the time, there's not a clock in the back of the church. So I can't see what time it is. But if I let this cough drop sit in between my cheek and gum, it dissolves in about 20 to 25 minutes. And when the 25 minutes is up, preacher, I know I'm done because that's about all I have is 25 minutes. My wife says you're going to grab a button out of your pocket one of these days and we're going to be here all day. But anyway, I have a cough drop this morning. I think I've got like 19 minutes, 30 seconds left, so we're good to go. But I want you to take your Bible. Luke chapter number 10 this morning. The Bible says in verse number 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Be it her therefore that she help me." I can't imagine being that bold talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Demanding him to tell Mary to come help her. I couldn't imagine myself. I feel so timid sometimes in my prayer life. Lord, I want you to do this, but I'm not telling you to do anything. But Martha is telling the Lord, you tell her, Lord, come help me. Now I can imagine Martha, this is a little parenthetical. Martha's probably the owner of the house. The Bible says they're at her house. And this is the same Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. John chapter number 11, you know Lazarus dies. This is the same Mary and Martha said, Lord, had you not been here? Our brother had not died. This is the same Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The Lord spent a lot of time with them at their house. They spent a lot of time with the Lord. The Lord loved them. They loved the Lord. Had a great relationship. But in this instance, Martha seems like it's her house. And her sister and brother live with her. And I can imagine Martha. I don't know if the Lord showed up unexpected. I don't know if he announced his coming, but preacher, I believe that Martha's at the place right here that y'all do know the Lord's coming. We got to get the bedroom straightened up. The bathrooms need to be cleaned. There's laundry probably needs to be washed, and I'm talking like it's 2024. But, you know, the floors need to be swept, and there's probably even a meal that needs to be fixed. We got to get ready for our guests. I can tell my wife, honey, we got company coming February the 28th. Of next year, and when we get home Friday night, we got to get this place clean. It's a mess. I can imagine Martha is thinking all about the stuff that needs to be done at the house, because that's how a woman thinks. That's how a woman operates. We need to have this place white glove inspected. And I can imagine that's Martha's attitude. And she's thinking, I can't get it all done by myself. The Lord has shown up. And this place is a wreck. We need to get it clean. I can imagine that you're thinking. But the Bible says that the Lord tells her in verse number 40, but Martha was coming about my son, came to him and said, Lord, tell my sister to come help me. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, let me throw another parenthetical in here. I think I know why the Lord called her name twice, preacher. Because the first time he probably said, Martha. And Brother Brian, she's probably thinking about the bathrooms that need to be cleaned, the towels that need to be washed, the sheets that need to be cleaned. And her mind is far away from the voice of the Lord. And he's probably thinking, the Lord, she didn't hear me right there. So I believe the first time he might have said, Martha. But the second time he probably went, Martha, listen to me. I need your undivided attention. I'm getting ready to teach you something. I'm getting ready to show you something. And I honestly believe that's how we are. Sunday mornings when the pastor gets up to preach, or Sunday night when the pastor gets up to preach, or when we're in our Bible study time, I believe the Lord sometimes has to call our name, maybe not as emphatic the second time, or as emphatic as I did it, but maybe the first time he calls your name and he says, Scott. And I'm thinking about everything I need to do because my time is so busy. Brother Larry made the statement this morning. I asked him, how's life been? And he said, it seems like in this point in my life, every second of the day is accounted for. That's how we are. We're just busy as busy could be. I mean, we're going and coming. I told him, this point in my life, it seems like I meet myself coming down the stairs of our house, and I even take time to wave at me as I go by. It seems like we are so busy. I pass my wife in the hallway. We're so busy, and it seems like the busyness of life has our attention on everything that this world has for us, everything that our job has for us, everything that grocery shopping and bill paying and everything has for us, and we are so consumed with everything that goes on. It seems like the Lord needs to call our name and say it the second time very emphatically, that I need your attention. I need to show you something. I need to spend a little time with you. You need to spend a little time with me. Let's get this thing in priority. Let's get the Lord back in first place. Let's go ahead and put the Lord back on the front burner instead of the back burner, because we are so busy with life and everything that goes on. And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. For just a few minutes, I want to preach on our time with the Lord. Our time. I've already said how busy life is. I mean, and I honestly think the devil and all of his imps throw stuff at us to keep us busy doing the things that we seemingly have to get done. I believe, preacher, even in ministry, this is our life. This is what I do just about every day of my life, 300 plus days a year, Brother Larry. This is what we do. We're in church somewhere on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. This is the majority of things we do. And I even believe in the ministry like we are. Call it full time, call it whatever you want, preacher, but we can get so busy with even doing the stuff within the church and doing the stuff with this and that we sometimes neglect our time with the Lord. We sometimes neglect the important part that we need, the time that we need to encourage ourselves, to get filled up on the things of God and get filled up spiritually on the works of God and get our prayer life in order and our Bible reading in order. And sometimes even in ministry, we think more about what we have to do than the one who can do all things and through us, because he's the Christ which strengthened us. We get so busy with things in life that we neglect our time with the Lord. I'm ADD. I never was medically diagnosed with it, and I'm not making fun of it. But I can remember sitting on our couch in my living room when I was just a little boy, and we saw the commercial for the ADD medicine, preacher, and talked about how these kids were so occupied, everything distracts them. And my mama looked at me and she said, that's exactly what you have. I didn't have to go to the doctor. My mind, I can be reading my Bible and see squirrels flying by and see trees falling and leaves blowing in. My mind is so preoccupied, seems like, with the goings and comings of life that I just read that, but I don't know that I took in or understood anything that I just read. But we're all like that. You don't necessarily have to have ADD to be distracted. We're really busy. But we need to make sure our time with the Lord is as equally important. Because number one, our time with the Lord, it ought to be valuable. He's the greatest person to ever come into our life. He's the greatest. Salvation is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. I don't ever want to get over being saved. I don't ever want to get used to being saved. I want to look at salvation as a new life every day in Christ Jesus. I want to look at it as I don't have to go to hell. That's wonderful. But I get to serve the Lord with everything that's in me. And our time with the Lord ought to be valuable. We ought to make it before our feet ever hit the floor. But when we get out of the bed in the morning, we ought to say, Lord, just help me to spend a little time with you. Lord, help me to read my Bible. Help me to pray. Help me to do this and help me not get distracted by the things of the world. Don't let me turn off too far to the right because there's a ditch. Don't let me turn off too far to the left because there's a ditch. Lord, just help me to realize that my time with you in my own mind and in my own heart ought to be valuable. It's important that you spend time with the Lord. It's important that everybody in this section spends time with the Lord. But it's more important that I, knowing that I have spent valuable time with the Lord. You say, how do you know it's valuable? Because the Lord told Martha this. He said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. I know you got busyness going on. I know there's work to be done around the house. I know the job is important. But there's one thing that I need to tell you, Lord. She said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many. But one thing is needful.
All right.
He said, Lord, this is so important. It's the one thing. It's not the cleaning. It's not the cooking. It's not the cleaning the bathrooms and washing the sheets. It's not making sure the house is spotless for me to come in. But you need something greater than the house to be clean. You need to be doing what your sister's doing. You need to be down at my feet. You need to be worshiping me. You need to be praising me. You need to be listening to every word I have to say. And you say, well, the Lord's not speaking to me. Every time you crack the pages of this Bible, that's God Himself speaking to you. He has given us everything we need to know about Himself. He's taught us everything we need to know about heaven, about hell, about salvation, about living, about dying, about worship, about grace, about mercy, about love. Everything we need to know about heaven, God has put it in the 66 books that we carry around. And every time we open the Scripture, He talks to us through His Word. And then sometimes there's that still small voice that guides us and directs us. But I can promise you, if you never crack the Bible open, you will not hear from the Lord. If you never pray, you will not hear from the Lord. You're not spending that valuable time with the Savior. And it's one thing that everybody in here needs. My little daughter over there, 11 years old, she needs to spend time with the Lord. She needs to know that mom and daddy spend time with the Lord. And it's not just a passing by or when I get ready to go to bed, Lord, I'm going to pray for my 2 minutes and 30 seconds before I doze off. This time with the Lord that we have, especially in this world that we live in today, it's all valuable to the child of God.
Right.
How can it be valuable to your children if it's not valuable to you? We get to spend time. We get to have an audience of the most powerful being in the world, the Creator, the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
We get to have an audience with Him. And it ought to be valuable to every one of us, for the next generation's sake, for our generation's sake, for the generation that came before me, Brother Larry, it ought to be important that we spend valuable time, because the Lord told Martha, it's the one thing that's needed in your life. There's one thing that's important, and that's spending valuable time with the Lord. But number two, our time not only is valuable, but we've made our time vulnerable. Very, very vulnerable. You say, how do you know? Because I have one of these.
Right.
I'm not knocking cell phones. Don't think I And you can actually see how much time you spent on the phone in the last 24 hours. Just today alone. Since I woke up, preaching sent out all my texts this morning that I send out. You get one of them. Brother Craig gets one of them. Brother Brian gets one of them. 1 hour and 45 minutes. I've already been on my phone since I woke up at 6:20 this morning. And I'll go ahead and be honest. I've not prayed, with the exception of sending out my text, praying for my brethren that I send the text to. Apart from that, I've not prayed an hour and 45 minutes. I've not taken the time to read my Bible an hour and 45 minutes. We do what we want to do. And I realize Baptist people do what Baptist people want to do. Everything under the sun, and I this is probably not y'all because y'all are in the Sunday school, the 9 o'clock service. Y'all got your halos on this morning. But everything under the sun can keep us from darkening the doors. If we're honest, and I'm not scolding you. I've not talked to your pastor about anything in the church. I promise you, me and the pastor, he's not told me what I needed to hit on. He's not told me what I needed to preach. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart. And we spend our time how we want to spend our time. And you could tell that old saying that I've heard all my life. God's people in their homes have not spent a whole lot of time with the Lord. Beside us, and so-and-so should be here, but so-and-so's doing what so-and-so wants to do, and I'm not here because it's Sunday morning, and I know this is routine, what we do on Sunday morning, but it ought to be more than just routine. It ought to be more than just because it's 9 o'clock, Sunday school started. We need to be in our place so nobody will talk about us. No, we need to be in our place because we want to be here and we want to spend time in the Word of God. We want to spend time fellowshipping with God's people. We want to spend our time getting fed by the Word of God and just spending time worshiping Him. I hope you didn't come today just to see my family and hear us sing because you're here for the wrong reason. If you didn't come to see Jesus Christ and see Him lifted up, high and lifted up, then you're here for the wrong reason, because we need to come to this place. We need to come to His house and expect to find Him at home and worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why we're here. But we choose to make our time vulnerable. Yeah. I can remember, and pardon the personal illustration, but pre-COVID, pre-March 2020, you're probably looking at one of the biggest sports fanatics there ever was. I could tell you stats. It didn't matter what sport it was, basketball, football, baseball. I ain't going to use my crude illustration. Maybe I will. If slinging boogers was a sport, I'd watch it. That's a crude illustration. But honestly, I was a sports fanatic pre-COVID. I mean, I could tell playoff teams, I could tell home run leaders, I could tell yardage and touchdown pass leaders. I just knew it all. My phone stayed on ESPN. I even read the newspaper, watched all the stats in the newspaper. I was a walking almanac for sports. Not so much since COVID. I believe the Lord used COVID to take one of my gods away. But I can remember Brother Brian, my wife and myself and our four girls, we'd always do our family altar at night just before we went to bed. We'd try to get it done before we went to bed. And Brother Larry, I'd be in there laying on my bed watching a basketball game. And it really didn't matter who was playing. Didn't matter if my favorite team was playing or not. My Tar Heels. I'm a Tar Heel from North Carolina. If you don't like the Tar Heels, I feel sorry for you. But anyway, it's the second half, preacher. There's about 38 seconds left in the ball game. It's we have a 2-point lead. And my wife said, honey, the girls are getting a little sleepy. Can you come in here and let's go ahead and do our family Bible reading and prayer time and stuff and our family altar? And I'd look up at the TV. I'm in the bedroom. She's in the living room. And I'd say, honey, there's 38 seconds left. When this is over, I'll be right there. And 38 seconds in any sport lasts about 2 days. Timeouts and stalling and all that stuff. And about time the 38 seconds was over, preacher, I walked in the living room and all of my girls were already crashed out. They're already asleep. And I said, oh, man. But I realized I chose the wrong thing. I made my time vulnerable instead of valuable. But I always had an excuse for it. We'll catch up tomorrow night. We'll read our Bible twice as much. We'll pray twice as much. We'll spend a little more time, family altar, tomorrow night. But it seems like tomorrow night, something else always came up. The devil don't want you spending time with the Lord. But the Bible says in our verse, Mary hath chosen. It was Mary's choice in this verse, and evidently not Martha's, to choose to spend time with the Lord. I said it from the outset of point number two, we do what we want to do. And I can promise you who's watching. My 11-year-old. I can promise you who's watching. My 3-year-old little grandson. My 2-year-old little granddaughter. My almost year-old little granddaughter. I can tell you, they're the ones that's watching. And if it's not important to you right now, it'll never be important to them. They'll always find something to do other than spend time with the Lord. And this message convicts me, preacher, more than any message I believe I preach. Because I honestly believe we're all guilty. I believe we're all guilty. It's valuable, but we make it vulnerable. We choose to do what we want to do. Number three, and I'll be done. Our time with the Lord is valuable. It's the one thing that's needed. Our time with the Lord, we've made it vulnerable. Mary hath chosen. But number three, our time with the Lord ought to be vital. And when I say vital, I do mean a matter of life and death. A matter of life and death. You say, how important is it? That little one right there you're holding, ma'am. It's important for her. I think about what the next generation has to face. These young people right here. I think about what y'all have to face. When I was a kid your age, I say a kid, I'm still little, but when I was a kid, they always said, preacher, and I'm 54 years old, Brother Larry, when I was their age, they always said there's 1,000 doors to death. But the longer I live, I realize in this generation's age, there's probably 10,000 doors to death. And mom and daddy, if they don't see you making the time with the Lord valuable, if they see you choosing everything else apart from spending time with the Lord, there's no hope. I know God can do what God wants to do, but God uses us to set an example for our children. You're being watched. You're being watched by your co-workers. You're being watched by your neighbors. Some of them saw you back out of your driveway or pull out of your driveway, whatever you did while they're over there, maybe practicing the golf swing, and I'm not against golf, or maybe they were polishing up the boat, or maybe they was doing this or doing that, getting ready to go jogging, whatever the case may be. They're watching, and they said, there they go. There goes those fanatics. But it shows them that you're choosing valuable over vulnerable. It shows them that church is more important and my time with the Lord is more important than swinging that golf club or polishing up that boat or getting ready to jog. My church is more important in the life of my family. Church is more important in the life of me in my life. Church is more important than anything else. That's what it showed, that you're choosing valuable over vulnerable. But I believe for the next generation after mine, preacher, my daughters and my daughter's daughters and my daughter's son, it's vital. They're not going to learn it at the schoolhouse. They're not going to learn about prayer. They're not going to learn about the Bible. They're teaching them everything else but the Bible. They're teaching them the alternate lifestyle. They're teaching them that it's okay to sin. They're teaching them that it's okay to live a life that's unpleasing to you as a parent, much less God the Father. They're teaching them everything else. And I believe for their sakes, we better show them that it's vital, that they spend time with the Lord, that it's valuable, that they spend time with the Lord. They have no hope whatsoever unless we tell them how important it is. And we show them with our lives. We show them with our Bible reading. We show them with our prayer life that it is valuable and their life depends on it. Whether they choose to be saved and choose church as important, choose the Word of God as important, choose prayer life as important, unless you show them that it is important, they may never darken the doors when they get old enough to have a ring on their finger, paying their own bills, living their own life. It's vital. The Lord put it like this. The Lord said one thing is needful in verse 42. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I always wondered what that meant. For a long time, Brother Larry, I wondered what that statement meant. Then I don't know, a few years before my father-in-law come off the road. He's 90 years old. Preacher, I can remember 32 years ago when Becky and myself, when we first got married and I started traveling with our family group, the Rochesters, and I can remember, Brother Larry, 32 years ago, my father-in-law, they always sat on the front row, this row or this row here, there's easy access out because they sang on this end of the platform. And I can remember, preacher, that my father-in-law would always sit. And when they called on us to sing 32 years ago, my father-in-law, he'd jump right up and he'd climb up the stairs and he'd grab his microphone. And it didn't matter if we sang for 20 minutes or 2 hours. My father-in-law 32 years ago could stand up there, no problems, no issues. Stand up there and sing and worship and praise the Lord. And when we got done singing, time for the preaching, whatever the case was, he'd come right back down them steps and he'd sit back down, no problem. But the last time they sang with us, the last date we did before they retired, this would have been December of 2020. December of 2020. The last date they did with us, Brother Larry, I watched that's been 2 years, so he'd have been about 88, 87. I watched my father-in-law. Y'all come on up here and sing. We were at Trinity Baptist in Asheville. We were at their home church, Trinity Baptist, Brother Ralph Sexton. Preach, I watched my father-in-law. The last time we sang, grabbed his cane. He'd have to grab the corner of the pew and he'd have to... And I'm not making fun of him, I promise you I'm not. But I'd watch him finally get his balance. And if it wasn't rails like this on the church, on the steps of the platform, somebody would have to stand there and hold him by the hand. And finally, I'd hand him his microphone. He'd stand here and we'd do maybe two or three songs, and he'd look over at me and he'd say, "I need to sit down. My knees are hurting too bad." And he'd spend the rest of the singing. If it was 20 minutes or 2 hours, Brother Larry, he'd have to spend the rest of the time. He'd sing just like he did all the time, but he'd have to do it sitting in a chair. We'd get done, preacher, waiting for the preaching to start. And if he's sitting in that chair, the same routine, and somebody would have to grab him by the hand, or he'd have to hold on to this to make his way down to his seat. Age is catching up to every one of us. At 54, I realize there's some things I can't do as when I was 18. And I believe what the Lord's telling Martha here is that, Martha, there's coming a day that you may not be able to stand in front of a stove or an oven and cook because you're restricted to a wheelchair, or you're restricted to a recliner, or you're walking on a cane or using a walker. Martha, there's coming a day that all this stuff that we're doing, all the busyness, may be taken away from us. Martha, you probably won't be able to crawl across the bed and put that fitted sheet on. You have to wrestle with it to get it put on. Martha, because you're getting older, there's coming a day you may not be able to do that. There's coming a day you won't be able to work the job. There's coming a day maybe you won't even be able to drive. There's coming a day you won't even be able to get out and play with the grandkids because this thing of age has crept up on us. And some of us seem like might have hit with a Mack truck. Those things can be taken away from us. But Martha, what Mary's doing, what Mary's doing, it doesn't matter if she's in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter if she's in a hospital bed. It doesn't matter if hospice has been called in. It doesn't matter if she's on a walker. It doesn't matter if she's in a recliner. She'll always be able to fellowship with me. She'll always be able to worship me. She'll always be able to pray. She'll always be able to commune with me. She'll always be able to read her Bible. She'll always be able to do the things because it's vital. It is very vital in life. That's all we'll do in heaven is spend eternity worshiping and falling at his feet and listening to the words he has to say and fellowshipping with him and communing with him. That will never be taken away. It doesn't matter if it's in this life or in the life to come. We'll always be able to spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
Because it's vital.
Amen.
It's vital.
Amen.
And we ought to realize today just how vital our time with the Lord is.
Amen.
It's more than making a dollar.
Amen.
It's more than a career. It's more than our kids having. It's about spending time. Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. It's valuable. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Don't make it vulnerable. Which shall not be taken away from her.
Yep.
It's vital. It's vital. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. God, I bless your name for being so good to us. God, I pray that you'd help us to realize just how important our time is with you. God, for the ones that Brother Chris took over at a junior church and Sunday school this morning, God, for their sakes, I pray that everybody in this auditorium right now realizes just how valuable and vital it is for us to spend time with you. And it's not an excuse to be lazy. It's not an excuse to quit our job. It's not an excuse to do the things that we ought to do. But God, it ought to be number one on our list of priorities to do. And that's spend time with you. Just sitting at your feet. Just listening to the words you have to tell us. And God, I pray that you'd help each home here today. God, each family here today. Each person here today to realize there's a lot of things that cause us to choose the vulnerable. But God, I pray that you'd help us to make up our mind. We're going to spend valuable, vital time with you. And God, whatever's done in the next service, I pray that you'd get every bit of praise and honor and glory because you're worthy. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.